Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest, State Representative Joseph Shekarchy, a Warwick Democrat. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Thank you, Ian. Always a pleasure to come on.
Longtime State Rep Joseph Almeida of Providence is accused of misappropriating slightly more than $6,000 in campaign contributions for his personal use. State police arrested Almeida Tuesday, and he was led into court in handcuffs. Almeida says he's innocent, and he'll fight this out in court. Representative Shekarchy, what's your reaction to this, and do you think someone is trying to send a message here that extends beyond Representative Almeida?
I don't know what kind of message it is, if it in fact is a message being sent to Representative Almeida or anyone else. Obviously, it was not a good thing to happen, but I will tell you this, it will not be a distraction for any members of the House. Consequently, what we went through last session, we produced a good budget, we had a very productive session. It will not stop any of the representatives, all of them, from working hard for their constituents and hopefully making the state a better place.
Scott, Representative Almeida will have his day in court. $6,000 is not the crime of the century. What's your reaction?
Obviously, it's a blemish on the assembly. On the other hand, this isn't like a John Salona episode where somebody was actually selling his office. But nothing like that. It looks, on the face of it, to be sloppy bookkeeping and bad record keeping. On the other hand, hopefully this will send shivers through the General Assembly and perhaps make other representatives who've been winking for years at the state's finance campaign finance laws make them pay a little bit more attention, because the voters expect one thing, that the people who write the laws will obey them.
Maureen, was it appropriate, considering the charge, for Representative Almeida to be led into court in handcuffs, in your view?
I'm not sure about the handcuffs, but I do think they were sending a signal, and I do think that Representative Almeida has been very cavalier over the years about his recording. He's had a lot of problems in terms of not being very specific about his campaign spending, as well as other things. So I think he just ignored this a little too long, and I think this was pushback from the state police that they're serious about him taking this seriously, and also sending a message that that we have to take these regulations as they should be taken seriously.
Our guest, Representative Joe Shekarchy, has the distinction of being close to both Governor Gina Raimondo, whose campaign for treasurer he ran in 2010, and House Speaker Nicholas Mattiello. So, Joe, will we be seeing you playing a point person role of sorts between the governor and the House Speaker?
No, you will not. With all due respect, they're both individuals. They're both very competent, professional. They don't need Joe Shekarchy or anyone else to be a bridge. They have a good, close, personal working relationship, and they don't need anyone to get in between it. Whatever issues that they have between them, they'll solve between them, and I look forward to doing one thing in the General Assembly, which is to represent my constituents.
Meanwhile, there are a lot of tax cut proposals this year at the General Assembly. Our guest, Representative Shekarchy, has one to try to use tax credits to spur job growth. But Scott, you've raised the point that there are a lot, what seem to be perhaps piecemeal efforts without taking a whole look at the galaxy of Rhode Island's tax policy. What is your thinking on this subject?
You know, every day somebody seems to have another idea to cut taxes, and politically, I understand that. But it's going to be interesting to see when Governor Raimondo's budget comes out in a few weeks, how she views this, because we know the state has a deficit. I've seen various different estimates of what it would cost, for instance, to do Speaker Mattiello's tax cut for Social Security and pensions. And it's going to be interesting to see if that's really a responsible thing to do in this environment with the red ink in the state budget, plus Massachusetts putting gambling in, and we're going to take a hit, I think, on our gambling taxes, which, as you know, they're the third largest source of state revenue. So I think it's really going to be interesting to see.
Representative Shekarchy, how do you respond to that argument that it would make sense to first look at Rhode Island's entire tax policy rather than having a series of different nibbles here, there, everywhere?
Well, I'm just glad we're having the debate about jobs, and I think that's important. I would disagree with Scott. I think that something has to be done. This is a bill that I've worked on for this is the third year in a row that I'm putting this bill in. And the first 2 years, we weren't talking about job creation and tax benefits. So now we are, and that's a good debate to have. And I'm willing to have that debate on the floor, in committee, on your radio show, or any place else with anybody. But the reality is that Rhode Island for too long has unilaterally disarmed in the jobs incentive field.
Well, wait a minute.
Other states doing that, and we're not doing enough of it.
Wait a minute, that's not true. We have a very generous job development regime. In fact, I think CVS got $15 million from it, and last year the Assembly just rolled back corporate taxes from 9 to 7%. So how can you say you haven't done anything or we're not doing anything?
Those programs you're talking about, that's what my job bill does. It takes the same program we're using for CVS and expands it so other companies can participate. Right now, there's possibly two or three companies in Rhode Island, the way the law is written, to take advantage of that opportunity. But in Rhode Island, we have more than two or three companies and more than two with three employees. This would make small, medium, and family-owned business eligible to participate. So it's a great program, Scott. You're right, for CVS. CVS is here. I'm happy they're here. There's a good corporate citizen. I don't want to lose them to another community. But we need to do more than just CVS. We need to expand the bill so the bill expands the program so other companies can participate in it.
Maureen, the Providence Chamber had one of its legislative lunches on Wednesday, and the message from the business community was we'd like to see more tax cuts. What do you think? Does it make sense for the General Assembly to take up individual proposals like those from Representative Shikarchi, or should this be looked at first in a more comprehensive way?
Well, first of all, I think what you're going to get are minor changes like Representative's introduction. And I do think we have to look at the whole picture. The ball game starts when we see the governor's budget. That starts the conversation. And what I expect will happen is we'll see some marginal changes and marginal suggestions because there have been a series of changes over the past couple of years. But down the road, once the administration gets rolling, the year after what I expect, is we're going to have to take a serious look at the whole package, particularly in light of the gambling revenues. This is going to turn into a critical aspect of budgeting, and everybody's going to have to take a look and start again because we're going to be in big trouble if we don't.
Let's stay with Maureen here. There's another proposal in the General Assembly to raise the minimum wage next January 1st from $9 to $10.10. Connecticut and Massachusetts are moving more slowly to raise their minimum wages. We're in a regional landscape here. So what do you think? Should Rhode Island hold off or raise its minimum wage?
I think we have to start the conversation. I don't think it's a question of timing. I think we have to get people used to the idea regionally, not only in Rhode Island, but in Massachusetts and Connecticut, that we have to do something about middle-income wages and understand that the lower wages create subsidies. We have to do food stamps. So the conversation is beginning, and that's appropriate.
Representative Shikarchi, you're the chairman of the Labor Committee. Where do you stand on this proposal to raise the minimum wage?
We had a spirited hearing just last week on the bill itself. We're open to it. I'm listening to dialogue from both sides of it. We're going to have another hearing on the sub-minimum wage, which is the wages for tip servers.
You're non-committal for
I'm
right
non-committal
now.
Right now.
Okay, let me stop you there because we're short on time. Last word on the minimum wage to Scott McKay.
I'd like to see them raise it because I think people who work 40 hours a week deserve a living wage.
That's all the time we have, so thank you for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And State Representative Joseph Shikarchi, a Warwick Democrat.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.